Blog Talk Radio.
Proper way to be saved, that we might set the expectation,
and that so that they can commit to the Most High from the very beginning in the spirit of truth from which the Most High has called everyone. I hope everybody has had a blessed Monday. Miss you guys on Sunday for the spiritual wellness. Nevertheless, y'all was good, and you know, just reading the Word of the Most High and dealing with the issues that are specific to Israel at this moment. It's a deep matter. You know, I didn't realize that just reading in the law and reading the covenant that that it is a lot. And, you know, it showed me that the real struggles that Israel has in the scriptures. Nevertheless, this is Newcomer's Night, and so we're going to stay on point, and we're going to be looking at those things that every new saint should know. On Thursday will be the business law meeting, and then Friday night we will be back in Torah doing what, you know, the Most High has told me to do, and that's to review the covenant, to read it so that we know what's there and then what moves into the New Testament and what doesn't. It is, as I said, the Most High never showed it to me and had me to look at it from this filter, from this light. And so it is, has me dreaming at night, has me up in the middle of the night contemplating this stuff. Let us do our statement of faith, and then we will do the necessary and pray. Let me have the ladies to cover their head, men's uncover your head. And no matter where you may be listening at, on Blog Talk, on Pal Talk, on the internet in general, we greet you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yah. Yah, we lift you up and we magnify you. We glorify your name, Father. We extol you, Father. We extol you. We extol you. We magnify you. For truly, you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. Hallelujah. And your glory will you not share with another, Father. And so we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Our scripture reading for today, let us go to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. May the Most High bless unto the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer, our holy hands lifted to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together into fellowship, Father, and to study your word and to learn what thus saith you as to how do we enter into the kingdom, how do we live in the kingdom, what we should know and do and pass to others, what we should teach our children. Father, we ask that you would be here tonight with us, that it would be you that we hear from and not Brother Miles. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. All right. We are in section D of the document that I sent out, Yah's Plan of Salvation. And we are still dealing with salvation. And we're dealing with the believers. What are the results of salvation? What does salvation offer to every believer? Because we are, coming into this relationship with the Most High. And the more I dig into this thing, as I said, even some of these documents, I'm going to have to revise yet again, because there's some fundamental things that I want new believers and even those who have been walking in the faith, that I want them to be able to pick up on from the very beginning. One of the things that has fascinated me in life is how it seems that each generation has to start over. And the lessons learned by the previous generation, it doesn't seem to be passed down. It doesn't seem to be transmitted. And so in these particular documents, and what will end up being pamphlets in the end, I want that to be that every person, some things you got to experience. That's just a fact. In order for you to learn, you have to experience it. You have to have gone through something. But sometimes, maybe you have the ability that you don't have to go through. You can learn from someone else's mistake. So a lot of things in my life I have learned that way. I don't have to actually go through that. I can look at what you went through and know I don't want to go through that, and learn the lesson from what you went through. And so I want to try to transmit some of that also into the document, so that when you're reading and when you're studying, if you have that ability to empathize, put yourself in the situation, that you're able to learn the lesson without actually having to have gone through it. And so in setting those expectations, we want, the end believers to be able to empathize and to learn the lesson that the Most High has taught us through our own experiences, what we had, what we had to go through to get where we're at today. And so some of the things that he's been showing me lately, I really do want to incorporate them and into this particular document, so that, I'm really learning even deeper, really deeper, why the Most High says to fear him. And I think that in this salvation, we have to understand that everything that he says is going to come to pass. Everything is going to come to pass. So we want to be on his right side is the bottom line. So what does salvation offer to every believer? Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Let's get verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Elohim, or the gift of Yah, is eternal life through Yeshua HaMashiach. So what you gain, one thing that you gain, is eternal life. Now, I want to say this, I want to make this a little bit clearer, because everyone, good or bad, is going to get eternal life. Okay? Everyone is going to get eternal life, good or bad. But when we get eternal life and we are on the side of Messiah, then we're going to enter into the kingdom, and eventually there will be no death. There will be no sickness. There will be no war. There will be none of the negative things of this world. And so we want to, that's the eternal life we want to enter into, where we're not worried about hunger or disease or war or people just being wicked. That's what that's the end state of the kingdom. And where Elohim is our Elohim, and he lives among us. And we are in a state that he can live among us. And so that's the end game. Just as it was in the Garden of Eden. The world and this earth will no longer be cursed. Because right now, even the world, the earth itself, is not bringing forth as the Most High intended. You know, even when we have people to say, oh, I got a bunker crop, and, you know, all their plants are producing abundantly. When the farmers get the right rain and, you know, they got, you know, an abundant harvest, it's still not what it's supposed to be, because the earth is under this curse that it's not going to bring forward and forth like the Most High intended from the beginning. So the earth will be restored. It will be producing as it's supposed to. Mankind will have eternity back. We will be in a different body that is not subject to even the laws of this earth, because all we have to do is look at Messiah. He is our example. So we get eternal life. We know that the wages of sin, then that other side of the flip side of that coin, you're going to go to the lake. You're going to be in eternal torment. You're going to be eternal. You're going to be on fire, but you can't burn up. But you can feel the fire. So it's a different type of fire designed, because he calls us spiritual beings at that point, eternal beings. So the natural things of this world don't affect spiritual beings the same. The natural things of this world don't affect the angels the way that they affect us. So we got to understand that when the Most High gives us eternity, good or evil, then the natural things in this world are not the same. This world is not the same to us. That's why he creates the lake of fire for the wicked. He created it for those wicked angels, for Satan and his wicked angels. But then he says, hey, everybody who follows down that path, then this is their end. I created this for Satan, the devil, and his angels. But and they have always been what? Spiritual beings. They've never been affected by these natural elements in this world, in the environment we live in. So the Most High made a special fire for them, that it would torment them and it would affect them. He says, now I'm making you eternal too. Everything in my kingdom is eternal. Everything in the kingdom. So I'm making you eternal, whether you are wicked or whether you are good. But the wicked I'm going to throw into this lake of fire. You're going to earn the wages of your sin. That second death. So we want to, salvation brings us into the kingdom where everything is blessed. Everything is of peace. Everything is in harmony. You know, everything is functioning the way that it was intended to function, even mankind. And so that's what we want to come into. We want to come into that kingdom and not the one where we earn it for sin. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that Yah has given to us, eternal life. That's what we lost in the garden. You got to understand that if Adam and Eve had never sinned, death would have never entered into the world. But because of sin, the Most High put this mechanism in the world that anything wicked at that time, or even now, anything wicked would not last forever until he was prepared for the lake of fire. And so when death entered into the world, when man sinned and death entered into the world, and death is a spirit, it's going to arrest you because you have sinned. And then, you know, sometimes he comes and arrests you early. Sometimes he comes and arrests you late. Sometimes you get, you know, your full measure of your days. But if we die or go to sleep in Messiah, then we go to sleep with the assurance that we're going to be resurrected to life. That when we get resurrected and we go to the judgment, we're not going to go to the lake. And that death, we're simply asleep. But those who die in wickedness, they die physically, and then in the next life, they die spiritually. Both, well, I'm saying that wrong in a way too, because you can die spiritually here in this world as well. If you choose to be wicked, then you're already spiritually dead. But the killing or the torment of the spirit, that second death is what I'm speaking toward, the lake of fire. And this is the record that Yah has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. It's the only way in. You can't get in on your own. You can't come in through the side door. You got to go through Messiah. That means that you have to recognize him as Messiah. Then you have to recognize what Messiah did. He came into the world, and he was made to be sin for us. And then the Most High said, now it pleased the Most High to bruise him, to punish him, to have him to go through everything that he went through, because that's what he really wanted to do to us. You know, so if you think about what Messiah went through, that he was actually beat beyond recognition, body torn open, ridiculed, spit on, nailed through, pierced, and he was guilty of nothing. This is Moshe said, I need a perfect sacrifice. For this did Messiah come into the world. And now this is what I want to do to you. This is what you deserve to have done to you for sin, for transgressing, breaking the covenant. And it goes all the way back to Adam. He says, but I'm not going to do it to you now. I have a special place prepared for all those who refuse to repent. I have a special place prepared for all those who want to remain wicked. I have a special place prepared for all those who will not turn away but and return to me with their whole heart. He said, so you got to come through Messiah, and you'll get your eternal life through him, because I want you to recognize that what he did and the price that he paid is, you know, is not going to go unrecognized. It's not going to go unnoticed. It's not going to be treated as something common. And he has, the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of Yah has not life. And basically, you know, that says it for itself. You come into Messiah, you get baptized into his death. So you think about it. All relationships end at death. The Most High made a mechanism. He made a way where he could give each one of us credit for death, for dying. He says, now because I'm giving you credit for death and you don't physically have to die, then I'm going to see you as a new creature. I'm going to see you as this man. The day you go, that you confess your sins. And let's go to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 3. because I want us to be very clear on how this works so that we understand that the day that we come to him and we are baptized, that we are a new creature and we are sinless. Romans chapter 3, and let's get verse 25. The book of Romans chapter 3, verse 25. And that's not in your document in this position, but I want to go there right now. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, an atonement, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. So through the blood of Messiah, the Most High has, if you put faith in Messiah's blood, the blood that was shed, then your sins will be remitted. They will be forgiven. But which sins? The remission of sins that are past, not future, past. And see, so a lot of people feel like, hey, when they come to Messiah, their sins are forgiven forever. That is not true. So they feel like, you know, then they can go to the verse that says, well, if we sin, he is true and just to forgive us our sins. Those verses are out of context because this verse and other verses that we will read will tell you that your sins are forgiven that are past. You get to start over, clean slate. Everything you did in the past is what? Wiped away. You are a new creature in the eyes of the Most High. We have to understand that, this mechanism that he put in place, how Christ gives us life. So, we come to Messiah, we hear the gospel, we believe the gospel, and we want to be baptized. Then we get baptized. We get baptized into his death. Into his death. So give me a hot second. I don't remember that verse off the top of my head. But I want you to see clearly here in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, that the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of Elohim, Most High says, if you do this, if you believe in Messiah, the day that you believe in him and you come to him and you turn yourself over to him to become his disciple, to start to live a life and to become Christ-like, the day that you do that, then what the Most High says is, I'm going to forgive your sin. Up until that point, so from the day you were born or conceived, all the way up until that day, all your sin is wiped away. You are a new creature. Okay? So let me get another verse here. Let's see. Give me 1 second. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 6. The book of Romans, chapter 6. We want to understand this salvific process. You know, it is not, it is a process. And each person has to go through it. Romans, chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that if so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, were baptized into his death. That's what that water baptism represents. So the process is this. You hear the gospel of the kingdom. You hear that you are a sinner. you realize that you're in trouble with the Most High Elohim and that you need to be saved. You repent of your sins. You die to them. You die to that old man, that old person. You look at those things, you say, you know, I'm no longer going to do these things. I'm turning away from them. Whatever they were, every man knows the sins of his own heart. Whatever they were, you renounce them, you put them down, you die to them. That's no longer me. Then you're supposed to be baptized because you're supposed to be dead to those things. You're supposed to be dead to that old man. Then you're supposed to be baptized into Christ, into his death. The Most High gives you credit for death. All relationships end at death. A marriage between a man and a woman ends at death. You come up out of the water, the Most High says you are a new creature, a new creation, a new being. He no longer sees the old you, even though, you know, physically you still like you. He doesn't see the old you. He sees the new you. Now, if you truly have converted, then you're going to have changed your ways already mentally. You're going to have changed your ways as to how you present yourself to people, the way you walk, the way you talk. Those things, what you do, your actions. Your old friends will see you. They're going to see the same old you. And they're not going to realize that you have changed, that you've been converted. They're going to want you to keep doing the same old things because, as far as they're concerned, it's still the same person. I like to say this another way. They see the same old house and don't realize that there's a different occupant. It's not the same person that used to live here. That's the way it's supposed to be, okay? And if we truly are repentant, if we have repented with our whole heart, if we are wanting the Most High, because this is what he wants you to want him, then he's going to fill you with his Spirit. He's going to now, you got baptized in the water. Now you're going to get baptized in the Spirit. When that happens, then you become his child. This is the process. But you got to first die. Die to this life. Then you get a new life in Christ, literally. Literally get a new life in him, and the Most High sees you as a new creature. That day, at that time, you are without sin. You have no record. Your previous record has been expunged or been thrown away. And the Most High doesn't see you as the same person. And so we have to understand that process. Got to go through the water baptism, which is the next lessons coming up. Why is it important? Sort of just told you already, but we want to go into that mechanism in depth because we need to understand the salvific process that the Most High has put into place. So you get your life through Christ by being buried in baptism with him. But you don't bury anything that's alive. So that old man needs to have died off. That old man needs to know not only that simply that they were a sinner, but they really need to know what sin is and what sins they're guilty of so that they truly can repent of them and turn away from them. And understand that, you know what, I no longer do those things. And this is why. That is what keeps the person. That is what will make a person not turn around and wish and be going back into things, their old ways. And when they truly have a true understanding of the Most High and why they should fear Him, then that should even cement it even further. You know, there's no reason that it should take years for people to get to the right position with the Most High. And I'm seeing that. I'm seeing where the church, the body, whoever, the camps, where they have been lacking in educating new saints, but also in the educating and the reinforcement with the normal body. So we want people to make sure, we want people to understand how to become saved and what each piece of it means. So as we read in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, Christ died for your sins that are past. Okay? Not your future sins. We got to deal with the future sins. And we've sort of been dealing with them. But I want to deal with them from the understanding that, hey, you understand at this point that the day that you went down in that water, that you were buried in Christ, you were baptized into His death, you, the old person, died. When you came up out of that water, you're a new person, and all of your sins up until that point, from your birth to that point, are gone. I have people that want to get rebaptized again, and there's really no mechanism for that, except for if they were baptized wrong to begin with. It just takes repentance after that. If we weren't truly repented, if we were taught incorrectly, then we have to truly come to true repentance. Have to truly be sorry that we have transgressed the laws of the Most High. So we got to understand this. That's why I said it's critical, it's very important that people are taught correctly from the beginning. Then we won't have a lot of falling down. We won't have a lot of backsliding. We won't have a lot of people turning away. We won't have a lot of people doing crazy stuff because they never were converted. Never were converted. They felt guilty. Felt like, I know I need to change. But were never really taught what they need to do and why. So that they could make a change. Because you have to make, each person has to make a decision. A real life decision that this is what I want. And sometimes it's just guilt. Sometimes it's robotics where our family was, you know, we were taught this by the family and we did it because that's what the family did. But personally, we had never been converted. And so this takes a conversion. It takes you saying, I'm no longer going to be that old person. I'm no longer going to allow people to influence me to do things that I know I ought not do. I'm no longer going to allow myself to do things I know I ought not do. And I'm not going to let other people influence me to do it. I'm not going to try to make them happy while condemning myself. That's why he says, he's very clear in the scripture. That's why he says, if you love anything or anybody more than you love me, you are not worthy of me. You have to be convicted of this so that you can be converted. And once you are converted, then nobody can make you do, you know, the only one that's going to make you do something is you. It's you. Can we know that we have eternal life? Well, as I said before, this question is being asked from the standpoint of being saved. Okay? Because as I said before, the wicked get eternal life too. So everybody gets eternal life. Just depends just where you're going to end up at is the question. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Because this needs to be your mentality concerning this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of Yah, that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of Yah. The things about Messiah are revealed and written so that we may know. Because if we believe, then you want to go beyond belief and know. There's a difference in believing and knowing. What's the difference? What you believe can be changed. Anything that a person simply believes can actually be changed. I know there's something that you had a belief about before that you don't believe the same thing about it now. So what you believe can be changed, but what you know, can't nobody change that for you. Can't nobody change what you know, what you've been through. I know that. Nobody told me that. I've experienced that. So what you know, you can actually, you just live in it. What you believe is a matter of your faith. Because you may have some doubts. You may have, you know, I don't have all the information. I don't know quite how I feel in that matter. And if the right person, the right situation comes along with the right information, you may even change your mind on what you believe. The Messiah says, all you got to do is believe. That's just a little bit of faith. But what you know, can't nobody take from you. So that you may know that you have eternal life. Everything about Messiah was given to us that we may know. All we got to do is not only just believe, but actually commit to it so that you can see the effects of it in your life. Really see them. Really watch the Most High move on your behalf. How can we know that we have eternal life? Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to, get this, not your will, his will. Here's where a lot of people mess up in their prayer life, in their life in this world, because they don't know what the will of Yah is for them. They're going about trying to accomplish what they want to accomplish. They're going about trying to, you know, have the life that they want to have. And they want the Most High to bless it. If it's his will, then that's fine. But you got to ask according to what? His will. Then he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have a petition that we desire of him. So you got to understand that if you want to know if you're saved, ask. Just like if you want the Ruach HaKodesh, he tells you, you have to ask. It's a gift, but the Most High looks at the heart. And he really wants to know whether you desire him. I'm giving you some keys. I'm giving you some secrets. He wants to know that you desire him. So we're told, if you being good If you being evil give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Ruach HaKodesh to them that ask him? You want to be in his will before you ask anything. You want to be seeking him out. You want to have a heart for him. You want to desire his kingdom. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 21 and 22. 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward Yah. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. That's why I say you want to be in his will. Yah Elohim, what is your heart for me? What is your desire for me? What is your wish for my life? As I've told us before, being Hebrew Israelite, our occupation was chosen for us by the Most High. You shall be a nation of kings and priests. We want to choose everything else. And so when we're praying for stuff that is not in his will, I want you to be a nation, it is my will that you be a nation of kings and priests, that you be a holy people. That's my will. But yeah, I want to be a movie star. But yeah, I want to be this corporate executive. But yeah, I want to be a pole dancer. But yeah, I want to be a drug pusher. Because you got people who aspire to these things. It's all they have. That's, you know, what they know. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be an astronaut. But I created you and formed you to be a king and a priest. Why aren't you praying to me for that? Why aren't you asking what my will is for you in that? Why aren't you preparing yourself to fulfill what I've called you to? So when he saves us, it's not for us to go and continue to do what it is that we desire to do. But it's what I've called you for as a people, a nation of kings and priests. A holy people. That's what he's saving you for. That's what he's redeeming you for. So we have to understand that we have to be in his will. We have to keep his commandments. Because what his will is, think about it this way. If it's my will for you to be a king and a priest, and that's what you're after, do you think it's going to be pleasing in his sight? You know it is. This is what he desires for us. And so when we're out chasing everything else and trying to look to see what's going to make us happy, where we're going to prosper at, the very thing we want that we will prosper at, we have always run from. We would rather run and do wickedness. We would rather run and leave it at that, do wickedness, rather than be what the Most High has chosen us for, what will please him. And so this should not be a struggle for us if we are awakened. And when we hear truth, we ought to just know that is truth and walk in it. Run toward it. Embrace it. Like our forefathers, the ones that walked in faith, not the ones that were disobedient. So let's read that verse again. Let it marinate, let it soak in. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward Yah. If you're not sinning, if you're not doing things you ought not to do, trust me, you're not going to be condemned in your heart. If you know that Yah has redeemed you and that you are a new creature, that you aren't that old sinful man anymore. You died to that person. You put away those things. Your heart is not going to condemn you. It's when you walk in contrary, and you know you're walking contrary. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I know I shouldn't be with this person, and we are not married, but I'm lonely. You're going to trust me. When you start trying to deal with the Most High, the word's going to condemn you. And the more you are convicted and the more you are condemned, the less you're going to want to approach the Most High. You won't want to approach him because you won't feel worthy to approach him. That's why you have to put that stuff away so that you can go boldly to the throne of grace, so that you can petition Elohim for what you need to fulfill what he desires for you, not what you desire. Because we, like I said, we all got our personal things we want to do. But Yah has called Israel of the flesh, chose them, chose us to be his priesthood. You have to want that. That's what you should be striving toward to achieve. That's his will and desire for us. And those nations that want to join to us, want to serve him in that capacity, those peoples, those individuals. So we have to understand that. And we have to be pleased. That was what will make us pleasing in his sight. But you have to keep his commandments. You cannot be a lawbreaker. That's how we can know. That's how we know that we're not condemned. That's how we feel not condemned, because we're doing what we're supposed to do. Don't have to have a guilty conscience because you're doing what you're supposed to do. Walking the way you're supposed to walk. Then you can approach. Then you can have that confidence toward Yah. Because he is true and just and merciful and gracious to his, those that are really trying to do what it is he has called us to do, to be in his will. So each and every person has to know this. And they should know this prior to coming and making a decision. That's why I say people need to have all of the facts, because people have been coming to the Most High with half information, no understanding, trying to be good, wondering why they're always failing. Why am I always falling? Why am I always getting tripped up? Why am I always going in these circles, these cycles? Why do I keep getting bit by the same thing? Lack of information, lack of knowledge, not having a true understanding of what you're coming into, what it requires, not having fully considered the cost and said yes. So we want to make sure people aren't doing that. They don't have to. If we've gone through and if we've learned the lessons, why should somebody new coming in have to relearn the lesson? Now, whether they are able to pick up on the lesson or able to pick up on the shortcut you gave them, that's going to depend upon the person, to tell you the truth, the individual. Because as I said, sometimes, that's why the Most High says, I send you through trials and tribulations for your perfecting. Sometimes you got to go through some stuff before it's in there. Sometimes you can hear about some stuff and say, no, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go down that road. I see the end of it. Look at. I don't want no crack pipe. Look at him or her crawling out the bushes. Or a toke. No, I don't want to go down that road. So we got to understand, we have to want him. We have to have the right information, the right knowledge. Because the Most High says, my people are killed. Why? For lack of knowledge. So you need to have the right way to come into this thing and why and what it means. And you know when you're in a right relationship with the Most High, then you can ask what you will. Because you're going to ask for the right things. Your mind ain't going to be focused on this world. Your mind is going to be focused on what He has you to do. Go to the book of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. Verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, they are the sons of Yah. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. When you know that the Most High is on your side, when you know He has chosen you, you don't even fear death because you know He is able to and will raise you back up again. Everybody in this life as it stands right now, if we live long enough, we're going to see death. One way or the other. So you don't even fear that for the simple reason you have a hope. You have more than a hope. That when the time comes and the last day that Yah will raise you back up again. And that your walk and what you're standing for is somebody's eternity, even your own, but even to all those that you come in contact with. That's why he says, you have the power of life and death in your tongue. And when you have this gospel, you are offering people life. In eternal life, not being in the lake. And that's why it's so important that you understand that you don't look at this as something common, that you got the greatest gift in the world that anybody could want or need. And if they don't want it, because of who you represent, you don't waste your time trying, hey, you don't want this? You hear it, you don't want it, okay. I mean, if we really do what the scriptures say to do, most of us try to be more merciful and compassionate than the scripture calls for, that he says, hey, if they reject this, if I'm telling you, if you explain this to people the way I'm telling you to explain it to them, and they reject it, he says, knock the dust off your shoes, because they don't esteem it. They don't value it. It's just like I'm telling us, when we don't understand who we are and we don't embrace that we are children of the Most High Elohim, we're sons of Elohim, when we don't embrace that, then we despise our birthright. When we don't treat it like He wants us to treat it, we despise it. We really don't value it. It's a whole mentality that we have to come into. That we have to understand, we can't walk contrary to that. Have to value your birthright. I'm a son of Elohim. Wait a minute. A son of who? Because somebody said you were the son of Barack Obama or whoever you would think big in the world. You'd be using that as something that, you know, is special. It's important. It means something in the world. But then you say you're the son of Elohim and it doesn't mean anything? You're the son of the creator of the heavens and the earth and it doesn't mean anything? Then, you know, we have to change that, our understanding and our mentality, so that we don't despise it, so that we value it like the Most High wants us to value it. Wait a minute, I'm offering you to be my child and you got doubts as to whether you want this? I'm offering you to be my child and that's not enough to stop you from sinning? It comes from what value you put on it. That should be enough. And, you know, and once I realize that, I'm like, hey, the truth of the matter is, people don't understand and don't value what the Most High is offering them, so they think something else has more value. Something is greater. I'm missing something out here in the world that's bigger and better than what you're offering me, Most High. That's what that comes down to. Because having no understanding of what it is that the Most High is doing, what he is offering, what he's giving, what he's saying, and who he, just think about who he is to say that. I am the creator. Every king, every person in this world, every prince, every rich person, the buck stops here with me. They can't do for you what I can do for you. Matter of fact, they're going to go to the grave just like you go, and you're putting your hope and everything in them. You're pumping them up just because you know them. You know, you got people that just, they just want to say, I know somebody, to make them feel like somebody. And here it is, the Most High Elohim is saying, no, I'm literally going to make you my child. And you can't esteem that? That's not good enough for you? So that's why we want new saints to understand what they're coming into, how they should be looking at this thing, so that they will serve the Most High way better than we ever served him, way better than we ever did, because we weren't taught correctly. We weren't given the correct information. We weren't told what was expected and then said, do you buy into it? We weren't told. All right. Romans 8, 14 through 17 again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, they are the sons of Yah. For you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. I'm adopting you and making you my son through Messiah. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's a different relationship than servant. There's a different relationship in the household between if you have servants and your own children. When your own children are growing up, the servants will take care of them. When the child gets grown, if you still got the servant, they'll be ordering the servant around. Different relationship. How you feel about the servant, you can have great love for the servant, but the servant is not going to match the love you have for your child. There's blood involved. This is what the Most High is saying. I'm changing the nature of the relationship. So I want you to be an obedient child. I want you to be an obedient child. The Father, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yah. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. That's me in another person, or that's not me. That's my child over there too. No, that one ain't my child. Who does that? The Most High himself. The Most High himself. So we got to understand that we need his spirit. We need his spirit. children of Yah, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of Yah, and joint heirs with Christ. I'm putting you into this relationship, and I'm changing your nature. And I am changing your status. This is what salvation brings us. And I'm making you my child. The children work in the family business. When you read the parable about the son that goes off, I know about the farmer that lends out his farm to the husbandman to farm the land. And when it comes time for the fruit of the labor from the land, he sends some servants, and they beat up some, they kill some. Didn't want to give them the fruit from the farm. So he says, I'll send my son. His son is in the family business. They kill his son. You got to understand that the Most High is looking for his children to be in the family business. I am a king and I'm a priest. I'm also the Most High Elohim. I make kings and priests. You shall be a king and a priest to the nations. This is the family business. You are born into royalty, not through human blood, but through the blood of Messiah. And you want to throw away your royalty? You want to throw away your occupation? We are indeed the prodigal sons. We want our inheritance, but we don't want anything to do with the family business. But we want to get paid, and we want to inherit, and we want to be able to use it. So Yah is calling us to what he wants us to be and what he wants us to do. This is what we were formed for. This is what we were called for. This is what we were created for. So we are joint heirs with Christ, Mashiach. But look at the rest of this verse. So be that we suffer with him. See, a lot of us want to get in, but we don't want to pay no price. We don't want to have to go through anything. We don't want to have suffered to gain anything. But as I've told you before, as the Most High has shown me in the scriptures, that suffering with him and to reign with him, you have to suffer like he suffered for the word of Yah or for the testimony of Christ. All through time, you know, you got to really be on fire for that to happen during certain times. But there's coming a time when Antichrist comes where you ain't got to be on fire. You got to be faithful. You got to be dedicated. You got to know what you're in it for. Because he's going to come looking for you. And then if you lose your life then trust. You're going to rule with him. That's the promise. You're going to rule with me 1,000 years. You're going to get resurrected in the first resurrection. Because everybody's not getting up in the first resurrection. But you'll get up in the first resurrection. You got to have that commitment to that, to be a joint heir with him, that we may be also glorified together. All those who are willing to pay the same price that Messiah paid get the same reward. So we have to understand that everybody's going to get eternal life. Everybody who's not willing to pay with their life, if Yah should call for it, You're still going to get eternal life. You're still going to get the kingdom. But you're not going to be a ruler in that kingdom. You're going to get a hundredfold of whatever you gave up. That's what you're promised. A hundredfold of whatever you gave up. Whatever you feel like you lost. Whatever it cost you. He said, I'm going to pay you a hundredfold. That's what you're promised. And eternal life. But that crown of life is eternal life. But that throne, that's completely different. And I know the churches, and probably most of the camps either, will not teach you that. Will not teach it that way. Will not even show you those scriptures. So that you can understand, oh, whoa, wait a minute, there's a difference here. Because they'll just teach everybody, you're going to reign with Christ 1,000 years. That's not true, though. And so we must come to him in spirit and in truth. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, I want to hear this, okay? And I'm going to make this clarification because I hear way too many people talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and then they have no evidence. So I'm going to just say it this way. How do you get the fruits of the Spirit without the Spirit? Just a question. How do you get the fruits of the Spirit without the Spirit? So let's just read that. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law to say how much love you can give. There's no law to say how much joy you can give. There's no law to say how much peace you can give. There's no law to say how long-suffering you ought to be. There's no law to say how gentle you ought to be, or how good you ought to be, or how faithful, or how meek, or how tempered. There's no law against those things. No law that says how much of that to do. The law puts limitations on things. A life for a what? Life. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's what the law does. Because it's a penalty. It is a penalty for bad behavior. So there's limitations put on it. How much should this penalty be? All the way up to death. But for these, the fruits of the Spirit, there is no law. Almost I don't tell you how much love or how loving to be. You should love. And how much you love is on you. How much you give. Can't give too much because there is no limit on it. So we have to understand that. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. We talked about this earlier. You have died. You have crucified this flesh. You are not driven by this flesh. You're not driven by the needs of the flesh. You know, when you're young and you got, you know, the body is, the flesh is flesh. I don't care how holy you are. If you are a normal person and you're of age, you're going to find the desire and the need to procreate. Now, everybody's not, there's exceptions. That's why Messiah says, not everybody can hear this thing. Some people, you know, it's best if you don't do these things. But it's better to marry than to burn. because that is the natural way of the flesh. And the Most High doesn't consider it as a negative. But we got to understand that when we come to Messiah, this flesh can't drive everything. You can't be motivated by everything of your flesh. You have to bring it under subjection. So it's just like the man that says he has his highest sex drive, and when it's a holy day, he still want to have sex. Won't bring the flesh up under subjection. Knowing that it's going to cause him to be unclean on a holy day, a clean day. But my desire and my drive, I don't want to bring that into subjection. So I'm going to do this, and then not only himself, but he affects his spouse. So we have to bring this flesh under subjection. We have to tell it, no, you're going to go without until it's okay to do this. And we're not doing this because of the holy. It's holy and sanctified to the Most High. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. It's okay to have a normal sex drive. You're married. Scriptures tell you, hey, don't stop coming together except for if it's for prayer or fasting, these things. Bring it up under subjection. But when it rules you, and you can't even be holy because you're too busy fulfilling the lust of the flesh. This is what he's talking about. It's ruling over you, just like if it was alcohol or something else. So we have to bring those things into subjection. You're not going to rule over me. There are rules. There are requirements that the Most High has. I can't. You know, it'd be like you're, if you think about the high priest, and the high priest and his family go into the Holy of Holies. They go before the Most High. The Most High appears before them. And right before going in there, he just jumped off his wife. The Most High is going to say, uh-uh. I'm killing. You're not walking out of here. You not walking out. And they used to tie a rope around the high priest in case he was in sin. And the Most High killed him in there. So they could pull him out. Because you couldn't appear before the Most High just any way. You could not do it. So we have to understand that we have to crucify that old man. We have to crucify the flesh. We have to crucify the lust thereof. Can't let it consume us. Can't be all about pleasure. And a lot of people live for some form of pleasure, one way or the other. It ain't just sex. It could be getting drunk. It could be getting high. It can be, some people say cigarettes calm them. It could be, I like holding power over people. Different things give people pleasure, and everybody's not the same. So all you got to do is recognize this thing. If it's of pleasure, what does it do for me? Whatever it is, what does it do for me? I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find out that it brings you some form of pleasure. That's why the scripture just says you got to crucify the flesh with the affection and the lust thereof, because all flesh, different people lust after different things. And what don't give you a buzz or what don't, bring you pleasure, trust me, there's somebody that it does. So just know that it's steeped in that. And we have to understand that. So that has to be crucified when you come to the Most High. That's why it's important that we know these things before we even make that step, so that we know that what we're giving up, what we're crucifying, why we're crucifying it. Why does this have to stop? Why do I need to control my sexual appetite? Why do I need to control, you know, my desire to get high? Why do I need to control, you know, my desire to get drunk? Why do I need to control these things? Because they are part of the lust of the flesh. It ain't just sexual. And the root spirit behind all those is pleasure. Let's continue. So if you are of Christ, if you are his, you have to crucify those things. You can't say, oh, yeah, I belong to Messiah, but I get drunk every day or I get high every day. I can't do without it. Then you have not crucified the lust of the flesh. And you are just serving Messiah or saying you are, but you're really still stuck with that pleasure spirit. The Most High says it this way, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Elohim. Because he says, you need to crucify that stuff. You need to do away with it. After we are born again, who becomes the motivator of our lives? Now, you got people out here that don't believe that you are born again in this lifetime. And you may be talking to somebody out there and they say, hey, you're not born again until you're resurrected and you get your spiritual body. But you are supposed to be born again now. You are supposed to become the son or the child of Elohim now, not when you get resurrected. Because if you go into that grave and you have not been quote unquote born again, it is too late. And when you get resurrected and you put on that eternal body, you headed toward the lake. Because this is Yah's plan of salvation. You have to become his son now while you can. You have to become his child now while you can. That's why when we were reading in Romans chapter 8 for a year, I wanted it to be clear to everybody that if the spirit of him that raised up Messiah from the grave dwell in you, if it dwells in you, the one that raised him up from the dead, then by his spirit that dwells in you shall he resurrect you. That's what the scripture says. And so if you don't have that before you go into the grave, if you don't have that before, it's too late. You get resurrected. You're not coming into the kingdom, into the Father's kingdom, where there's no more death. No more, you know, from a spiritual standpoint. You're not coming in there where there's no more hunger, no more pain. Where's utopia at? Just for reiteration, let's go get that. The book of Romans chapter 8. And let everybody go there in your Bible real quick. Because I want us to read this in light of salvation so we understand we're still in the process, but you understand the complete process and why you have to have this before you go in the grave. We're going to start at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of Elohim. That Spirit there, when it always says Spirit like that, and it capitalized especially, talking about the Spirit of the Most High. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua HaMashiach has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law wasn't weak. It was the people that the law was given to was weak. Elohim sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. If you keep the law, if you do the law, then you fulfill the righteousness of the law. The law is right and it's good. And what the Most High says to do is good. That's why he says that if we would just listen to his voice and obey his voice indeed and not use our own judgments over his. This is what Israel did. So the righteousness of the law. Because Israel didn't feel that the law was righteous. That's, you know, I'm learning that more and more. They did not feel that the law was righteous. I don't know if I can do that. Might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. If this flesh is running you, trust me, this is all you worry about. That's how that spirit of, that's how you can know that that spirit of pleasure has control over you. That's how you know that you're carnal minded. Because it's the things of the flesh that run you. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You learn to crucify that old man, and the things of the Most High are what motivates you. For to be carnally minded is death. If you live for this flesh and you let this flesh take over, it's going to bring you death. It's not going to bring you life. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When we know that we are in good relationship with the Most High, that we are walking the way that we're supposed to, not that we're supposed to become puffed up, but we're supposed to become peaceful. I'm in right relationship with Elohim. I'm not being motivated by anything in this world. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against Elohim. For it is not subject to the law of Elohim. When you are carnal minded, you can't obey the law of Elohim. You're going to break it all the time. You're going to constantly break it. You're not going to obey it because you're not thinking from the Spirit of the Most High. You're not thinking about who you are as and the person that you are. Your concern is pleasing this flesh, pleasing the need of the flesh and the spirit behind it, even our own mind, our own emotions will attach to those things. So we feel lonely when we're really not alone. We feel neglected. We feel needful. We have desires that we can't, you know, we don't want to put them down because they weren't painful. They weren't unpleasant. We live for those things because sometimes they became our identity. This is what we were known for. And we did our best to be good at it. But we are carnal minded. So we can't keep the laws of the Most High. Because those other things will keep us from it. So, because the carnal mind is hatred against Elohim. For it is not subject to the law of Elohim. Neither indeed can be. Can't be subject to it. can't be in submission to it because it doesn't live by that. It's not motivated by the laws of Elohim. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. No matter what they say, because, you know, we can say one thing with our mouth, but if we are truly driven by our flesh, by our pleasure, by our needs of this body, if we can't crucify those things, you're not going to be able to please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of the Most High. How? If so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. That's the only way you get into the Spirit. Elohim has to dwell in you. Not just the words in the Bible, but the speaker of the words that are in the Bible. He himself, literally. That's why he says, I shall pour out of myself, of my Spirit, on all flesh. But you got to ask. So, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How? If so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, this is the same Spirit that was in Christ. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. To wit, Yah was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The Spirit that was in Messiah was the Spirit of the Most High, the Father, in flesh. That's why the same Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of Elohim, you don't have to have two different spirits in you. It's the self-same Spirit. Has to be in you. And if you don't have that Spirit, he says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't belong to Christ. You don't belong to Messiah. You don't belong to the Most High. If you don't have this Spirit, he says, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit. You must be born again of the Spirit. Different lesson. But I want us to understand that this has to happen. This is part of his plan of salvation. We're looking at these verses now from the standpoint of if you go to the grave without that, it's too late. So let's prove that. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, and everybody has to ask themselves, you know the answer to this, if the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, again, the one that raised up Messiah from the dead, that tells you that he is the Holy Spirit, because that's the only Spirit you're promised to receive, the Comforter, he shall be in you. If the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Messiah or Yeshua or Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give your mortal body life by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is how he's going to resurrect you. So if you go to the grave without the Spirit, you're not getting up, not during when you're supposed to be resurrected by his Spirit as being his child. Whether it's in the first or the second resurrection, the Spirit is going to determine who you are. And if you want to be born again, you want to be resurrected into the kingdom, either during the first or the second resurrection, you've got to have the Spirit. This is what makes you a child of the Most High. I have begotten you. This day have I begotten you, just like Messiah read it. Must be begotten of the Father by his Spirit. Got to do that before you go into the grave. That's how he's going to quicken your mortal body. That's how he's going to change it. So this is not something that we want to play with. We got to know that we have it. and to make sure that we have it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. After we are born again, who becomes the motivator of our lives? I am crucified with Christ, with Mashiach. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You get his spirit, you start becoming like him. Literally. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of Yah, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I told us when we went down in that water and we were baptized into his death, when you come up, you really want to be pursuing the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh, that Christ might be in you, literally, and that you might live by him, leading you, telling you, no, you can't go over there. No, you need to go over here. Go lay hands on this person, because it's not you going to be doing the healing, it's him, his spirit. Got to be that vessel. You were baptized into his death, but you got to realize you had to kill that old man. So you were crucified with him. That's how you become crucified with him, by killing that old man, crucifying that old man. His ways, his thoughts, his motivations. Crucifying him. So that when you go down in that water, what you are burying, you're burying that dead man, that old man. And when you come up that new creature. Okay. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ, that Mashiach, may dwell in your heart by faith. You being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, understand, know and believe, and understand with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. So let's go get the rest of that verse. It continues in 4. In 18. Ephesians 3 and 17. We're going to go ahead and read into 18. Yeah, we did. 18 is actually there. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, the love of Mashiach, which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of Elohim. You want to be filled with the fullness of Elohim, all of his love, all of his characteristics, the things that Messiah said, greater works than these shall you do. We have to be submitted to that. So this is what we want. But he needs to dwell in us. If Mashiach gives us strength, what can we do for him? Now, it's part of our tenet, so we should probably already be able to answer that without even going to read it. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Shouldn't be anything that's too hard. Shouldn't be anything that's too impossible. Everything for the kingdom, Our strength comes from Christ. We can do all things through him. That's why he says, another comforter I will send you. That's why the Most High says, when you are weak, when you give up yourself, when you submit yourself, I am strong. I will work through you. It's when you're trying to be in control that's the problem. You got to get out of the way and let Messiah rule in your life. That's why he says, I want to fill you with my spirit, literally, and then I will do the works. I will do the works. Just be that willing vessel. What must we confess? Why must we confess Mashiach before men? Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, and in 10:42. Whosoever therefore shall confess me, Mashiach, before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Yeah, I know that one. That's one of my brothers. Yeah, I've looked at their heart, and they really do have a love, and they obey. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of the least of one of, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of the, one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You want to do the works, because if you don't do the works, you can lose your reward. See, people think salvation is forever. You can't lose it. But you can lose it if you don't do what it is that he called us to do. What it is he called us to do? Look out for the poor. Look out for those less fortunate than yourself. Obey my commandments. Have the fruits of the Spirit. Have the Spirit. Don't want to lose your reward. Don't want to spend all this time here learning and then doing and then not doing the right things, doing what we feel is right in our own minds, not hearing the voice of the Most High, not obeying his voice. You know, I now know that that even to put our righteousness over his, because we don't personally agree with this or that. But he says it, and we have to agree with him in everything. Matthew chapter 10. What is the consequences of denying Mashiach before men? 10, verses 34 through 39. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 39. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. So you got to be in the family business. Family business is salvation. The family business is running the world. The family business is teaching men the proper way to behave. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loveth his life, for he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. We just have to believe and do. Accept who you are and understand that that was the purpose that you were selected for, and especially Israel of the flesh, you were chosen for. Things ain't gonna never be right with Israel until we get within the will of the Most High. It's just a fact. If we believe that Yeshua is the Son of Yah, what are we able to do? 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of Yah overcometh the world. And this is victory that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth on Yeshua HaMashiach, believeth that he is the Son of Yah? That should be enough to make you overcome if you are truly believing and truly committed. This comes, again, it comes down to commitment. It comes down to, and especially for a child of Elohim, if you know that you're a child of Elohim, then there's nothing in this world that, you know, you should fear. I don't fear what men say. I don't fear what they think. I don't fear what the government might say. I got to say what Yah says. And if they come and get me for that, then they come and get me. I'm still going to say what Yah says. I don't fear them in that way. Not trying to be approved of men. But what Yah says, I want to say. Because men have come up with their own values, their own statutes, their own laws, and if it's contrary to the Most High, then I'm going to be contrary to it, regardless. I understand that I can't walk in that fear. And we cannot walk in that fear. Why are we able to overcome the world? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. You ain't had no feelings, no temptation that no other man ain't had, or some man or woman done had. You ain't alone in those things. But Yah is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, what you are able. So you have this desire, you're tempted, and see, trust me, can't be tempted with what's not in you. So what you're being tempted with, the Most High says, I know what's in you, and I'm not going to tempt you beyond measure to break you. But you should be able to get the victory over this thing. Because if I tempt you, I'm going to make a way out. So that you can go through the test. Oh, here's my exit over here. You know, it almost had me. I almost did it. But here's your exit. Test don't come again until it's not a test anymore. No. I'm not falling for that. You can't tempt me with that because I no longer am tempted by it. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it? Got to understand, these things, this test, this tempting is coming so that you can have the victory over it. So that you can work your way through it and come out of it and don't succumb to it. Because every time it comes, there's going to be a way of escape if you want to escape. And each time you escape and have the victory, you become stronger until that thing just don't have a hold on you. It's no longer a temptation. I used to be tempted by that. I used to like that. But you know what? I found out there ain't all that. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. They didn't say the word of his testimony. Your testimony. I went through this and I overcame. This came up, y'all, and guess how the enemy tried to get me? Like this. But I overcame. I saw the escape, or I wasn't even tempted, like he could even approach me like that no more. And they loved not their lives unto the death. As I said, the Most High wants to know that you don't love this more than you even love him. And, you know, that's strong. It's strong. And this is something that most Christians can't go to this level, won't go to this level. But you talk to a Muslim, let you say anything wrong about Allah. See if they won't be willing to die for it. You get the same words in your scripture, but somehow that same commitment is not there. It don't mean that you're going around trying to pick fights and trying to, you know, kill people and that kind of stuff. But they are committed to their God, even unto death. And this is what the Most High calls for us, even unto death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of Yah, little children, and have overcome them, the world, because greater is he that is in you. He's supposed to be in you than he that is in the world. That's why you must have the Spirit of the Most High, Elohim. He must be in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why is overcoming the world so important? Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. The book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. When it said to Israel, I will be your Elohim, and you shall be my people. Now the Most High says, I'm filling each and every person who is willing with my spirit, and you shall be my son, my child, and I will be your Elohim. So we want to overcome. We want to overcome this world. We want to overcome this system. We want to become the child of the Most High Elohim. We want to do the work that he has assigned to us. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercies. Father, we thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for loving us before the foundations of the world, and that you already knew and you already saw and you already put in place a plan for us to come out of the corrupt and fallen state that all man would go into. Father, you said, if we would but hear what you have to say, and if we would just obey your voice and harden not our hearts, that you have salvation for us. You have made a way for us where we could not make a way for ourselves. He said that you would receive us to you if we are faithful and would obey your commandments. All that you should call, Father, and all that you choose, and all that will hear and obey your words, Father, we pray for them even right now. that they would humble themselves, that they would turn themselves totally over to you, and that they would give themselves to your service, understanding that there's no greater call for any man or woman. Father, we need your salvation. We need to be saved from you, because it's from your wrath that we are being saved from. We don't want to meet you in your anger, but we want to meet you in peace as your child. Give to us what we need, Father. You know the needs of every person. You know their hearts. Answer their prayers in reference to your work in your kingdom, even now. Give them not the spirit of unbelief, but give them the spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father, that we can come boldly before you, that we will petition you because we are in your will to do those things that are pleasing to you, Father. To do those things that are pleasing to you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On next Tuesday night, we will be looking at the water baptism and the importance of the water baptism, and why it's not just an outward sign of an inward change, but it is required by the Most High as part of his plan of salvation, that we must be baptized of the water. We're going to go into that in depth so that we understand what his purpose is. We've already talked about it today, but we're going to go into it in depth on next week. And that we understand that there really is no need to be rebaptized. You know, I see people saying, I understand why they want to. But the truth of the matter is, unless you were baptized incorrectly, or unless you feel like really that you were baptized and you didn't have the right understanding, I still have to go before the Most High in regards to some of those, because the scripture does not make provision for it. Now, if they were baptized incorrectly, like John's disciples, when they said, hey, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, unto what were you baptized? Unto John's baptism. Then they were rebaptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. It's all really the only real provision that is given in the scriptures for it. So if you were baptized in error, in the wrong baptism, then it's something that, you know, the scriptures make provisions for. But we want to look into this thing because then after that, then we will go into being baptized in the Ruach HaKodesh. Because Scripture says you must be born, Messiah says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So we want to go into those things in depth. So after the water baptism, then we will be looking at being baptized in the Spirit of the Most High. And, you know, the scriptures that relate to it and the importance of it, you will know the stuff inside and out. Because when we are witnessing the people, when we are trying to bring people in, when we are, you know, doing the work, then we want them to come in the right way. And we want them to come in the way according to the scriptures. According to the scripture. So those will be the coming up lessons in the newcomers class. On Thursday, as I said, it's the business night. Business meeting. So Thursday night, business meeting, we will continue to try to finish up the bylaws. And then Friday night, we're going to be back in the book of Exodus, in the covenant, reading the covenant so that we can go through this stuff. And like I said, we're reading it. Don't let the reading of it upset you. Maybe things, as I've looked at this and I've seen in Israel, and I've seen in, you know, what the Most High says concerning us as a people, you got to understand that his judgments are his judgments. And he says we're supposed to keep them. So whatever, you know, we're looking to see, what, if anything, changed coming into the new covenant? Can't know that without reading the old. Okay, so we want to be faithful in this. We want to go through it. We want to study it out. And we want to enter into the contract or understand the contract that we are in so that we're not breaking it. Because, you know, what we got to understand concerning the contracts, when you break a contract, the contract is null and void. If salvation comes with the contract and you break the contract, then what have you just broken? Your salvation is null and void. And so we need to make sure that, you know, we have a very good understanding and that we don't put our righteousness and our personal opinions over the opinions of the Most High, and that we don't allow the world to do it. We're supposed to fear him and not the world. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again at the appropriate time, remember, I love you, but Yah Elohim loves you way more. Shalom, family.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away.